Luke chapter 15. Look, if you would, at obviously verse 11. Luke chapter 15. And tonight we're going to look at the story that we looked at this morning, but in really a very different perspective. And I have always heard the phrase, you've been told the phrase, that you just can't go home again, is what people have said. And I will say this, I think I mentioned this kind of years ago, but I remember when I first went into evangelism that I got a phone call from Pastor Clarence Helms in Floral City, Florida. And he pastored the church and the high school where I attended. And I attended high school there part of my ninth grade year, my 10th grade year, and then my senior year of high school. My dad went back into evangelism. He pastored that church for a short period of time. And I went to that high school my ninth grade year and 10th grade year, and then he went back into evangelism. And that was very hard on me to, I enjoyed playing sports and different things. And I went back there, and they allowed me to go back to school, my mom and dad, while they continued to travel for my senior year of high school. And when I was in evangelism, after being here at Kerwin, he called and asked me to preach a revival meeting. And I was just obviously glad for the meeting. When you're in evangelism, you're glad for any meeting. And as the time approached, I realized that I was getting ready to go preach an entire week, Sunday to Friday, revival meeting. And every day I was speaking in the elementary and the high school, and then at church every evening. And then all of a sudden I began to realize that all these teachers that were there when I was there were there still. The principal was still there. He was still the principal of that school. And I was a very different person than I was there in high school. And, as I got up that first Sunday morning, and the Lord blessed, I think I preached there 7 years in a row in the month of November, had really some of the best meetings in evangelism at that church. But it was always the hardest week of the year for me. Because when you get up and preach, you just still wonder, all those people that know all those things, it's very hard to go back home. But may I say, when it comes to the Savior, it is very easy to go back home. It's easy when it comes to His reaction, but it's hard when it comes to our decision making. And don't get me wrong, I think sometimes we think, well, a person has to go way off deep into sin and, you know, just absolutely go crazy, and that means he's away from God. And listen to me, dear friend, that's not at all true. Now, you can go crazy and you can go off the deep end and you will be a long way from God, but you can sit right in God's house and go to church every Sunday morning and every Sunday night and every Wednesday night. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can sing in the choir. You can run a soundboard. You could play an instrument. You can work in a nursery. You can be as active working Awanas, working bus ministry, and you can still be a long way away from God. And I want to, as we talk this morning about, obviously, our very popular story of the prodigal son, I want to talk to you about this subject tonight. You can go home again. But if you want to, and if you feel, and what this first takes, and what I said this morning, was the first step in getting out of sin is to realize you're in it. And I think that I want to ask each of us tonight, could you maybe just draw a little circle around just you? And not think about your neighbor that you think we could really use this, or another church member that you think, boy, I'm glad they're here tonight for this one. Could we draw a circle around ourselves tonight and do a little self-analyzation and try to ask ourselves this question: am I as close to the Father as I used to be? And dear friend, I have always said this, it's kind of a mean statement because I guess all of us were all guilty of this, but if there was a time or a season in your life that you were a lot closer to God and a lot more faithful and a lot more excited about serving Him than you are right now, it means that you have moved away from Him. Now, you might have good reason, and life might have been rough on you and all these type of things, and man, I certainly understand that. But do you realize that if there was ever a time that you were closer, the Bible says God is always the same. He doesn't move. He didn't move away from you. You have moved away from Him. And the process sometimes is so gradual that you won't even realize that it has taken place. Any of you have ever been fishing? You know sometimes that if you go fishing and you don't want to necessarily use an anchor, and I went fishing oftentimes in Florida. I've told you all those stories of where my fishing career kind of ended. And I used to, you know, you catch all kinds of fish and fish for all kinds of different kind of fish and different things in Florida. And you know, if you just kind of, if you let loose at all and you're sitting there kind of fishing, you don't have a trolling motor on, you don't have anything else on, if you don't pay attention, you can drift sometimes 40, 50 feet from the spot that you were and you don't even know it. And that's exactly what happens in our Christian life. And all of us have to look at each other tonight and just say, and not at each other, excuse me, at ourselves and say, could this possibly be for me tonight? Could it possibly be that I need this tonight? And if you and I realize that, you know what, preacher, I am a further away than I used to be. What are the steps that I have to take? How do I begin this process? How do I get back as close to the Father as really I want to be? And I don't know how I've gotten this far away or how my heart's gotten this cold, but how do I get there? And I want to notice number one tonight, and we're not going to read through the whole story. You're familiar with it. But I want to say number one, when should we go home? When should we go home? In other words, preacher, how do I know when it's time for me to go home? How do I know that I need to go home? When should we go home? As you look at this story, this young man had to get to a certain place in his life to realize, I need to go back home. So when should we go back home? And if you're keeping notes, this takes place between verse 11 and verse 17, but I'm going to give you the reasons very simply tonight. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. I ask you to bless, Lord, in this passage that is preached out of so often. And yet, Lord, it seems that we always find something that we need. Lord, I pray you'd bless this tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. When should we go home? Number one, I want you to write this down if you're keeping notes. When you leave the Father's house behind. When should you go home? When do you and I need to realize, you know what, I need to go home? First sign is this, when you have left the Father's house behind. Do you know for the Christian, the optimal time for coming home is the instant you realize you've left. Are you all with me tonight? The best time for you and I to get back to the Father as quickly as we can is the moment we realize we've left. You see, the longer you're away, the more comfortable you're going to become being away. The farther you go, the more comfortable you're going to get with that. The longer we drift, the more okay we are with the fact that we have drifted. And you and I think sometimes you and I think we look at ourselves, and if you're like me, sometimes you get in bed at night, if you're not asleep as soon as you hit the pillow, like, you know, we work so hard and different things, many of you, but if you have time just to think, you begin to think about your life, and if you're like me, I think, you know, Lord, I shouldn't have done that, and I shouldn't have said this, and, I, you know, Lord, and I'm sorry, and I begin to realize, you know what, I've wandered off a little bit, and I've not been reading my Bible like I should, and I've not been in God's Word like I should, and I've not really had the attitude that I should have had, and dear friend, look at me, the more you and I analyze that and realize that, but we don't do anything about it, the harder it's going to be to ever get back home. So when should we go back home? Number one, when you leave the Father's house behind. Amen. The moment you realize, you know what, I'm a little bit far away. Can I tell you something? Look at me. It would have saved this young man a whole bunch of problems and a whole load of money if the moment he walked off that property, he would have realized, you know what, I'm doing the wrong thing, leaving my Father's house. But he literally had to go as far as he could possibly go before he learned his lesson. And it cost him everything. Dear friend, you and I need to learn to go home when we leave the Father's house behind. Number two, if you'll notice verse 13, when you begin to live like the world. If you'll notice in verse 13, and I find this very interesting, the Bible says, not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, notice, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. You know how you and I should know that we need to get home is when we begin to live like the world. He began to participate in riotous living. By the way, this was a first for this young man, probably because his dad seemed to be a pretty sharp individual and a compassionate individual. And obviously in this story, he is a picture of our Heavenly Father. So his dad must have been a godly individual, and this young man would not have been allowed to participate in things like that. So obviously this is the first time this young man had ever gotten involved in something like this. And I have seen it over and over again. Young people that are raised right, taught right, in the right kind of home, and it seems as they begin to rebel against that, the first opportunity they get, they literally want to go off the deep end. Listen to me, dear friend. The moment you begin to realize you're living like the world is the moment you should head back home. Because if you and I get to a point that we're starting to live like the world, we have left too far. We've gone too far. Y'all get what I'm saying tonight? Say amen. Amen. Let's face it, there's a marked difference between the Christian and the world. Well, let me rephrase that. There's a marked difference between Christ and the world. The problem is sometimes you look at the Christian in the world, there's not a whole lot of difference. There's not much difference in our churches. There's not much difference in our music. There's not much difference in our attitude. There's not much difference in so many things that, you know what, before long the church can begin to look like the world. And the world can begin to look like the church. And dear friend, according to this story, when you start doing things like the world does them, that's a sign you have left the Father's house. Number three tonight, when should we go home? When you lose the Father's blessings. When you lose the Father's blessings. Notice, if you would, verse 14. And when he had spent all the blessings that his father had just bestowed upon this young man, it was all gone. And dear friend, when you leave the Father's house, before long, you're going to go through all of the blessings you've been given. Doesn't mean God's still not good and God still doesn't meet needs and God still doesn't know where you are. But look at me, dear friend. I'm here to tell you that all the good things that you have reaped and benefited from living for God, when you take off from the Father's house and we begin to get a guilty distance away, and it usually begins with our attitude and our thinking, and then it begins with our actions, and it goes from all those things to before long, now we've got a rotten attitude, rotten actions. We don't want to be in the house of God. We don't want the things of God. And before long, you're going to think, hey, everything's still okay with me. The bills are still getting paid. In fact, there are people in my neighborhood, preacher, that don't go to church, don't have anything to do with God, and they're making money left over right, and they seem to be doing well, and they quit coming to church here, and they seem to be successful. Look at me, dear friend. Before long, they will lose God's blessings. You can have all the success you want. That is not God's blessings. This young man, as he wandered far away from the Father, all of a sudden realized everything that the Father had given was gone. You and I need to learn to turn back home when we realize, look at me, that we have lost the blessing of the Father. When you and I live in a way that God can't bless that, we have sacrificed something that is very valuable. And you don't know how bad you need it till you've lost it. I could tell many stories about that, but I'm not going to get into that tonight. May I say that when God's blessings begin to be stripped from one's life, it is a good sign that somebody needs to head back to the Father's house. And dear friend, may I say this, you can have all the money you want in the bank and all the material things you have, but when one day you realize that you have left the Father's blessings, you're going to realize you don't have anything. I want you to notice, fourthly, when should we go home? Number four is this: when you are left with nothing. The Bible says in verse 15 and 16, notice this, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine, and he fain would have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, no man gave unto him. He literally had nothing. You know, a lot of times you and I say, well, preacher, I just don't really have much. We do. Poor in this country is rich in other countries. And, you know, I know all of us may not have everything we wish we had. But we all have more than we need. But look at me. When I say this young man didn't have anything, I mean he didn't have shoes. He only had the clothes on his back. And he had nothing to eat. He had nothing. Now here's what's interesting. The Bible says that God's children will never go hungry. You know, when you and I need to realize that, you know what, I need to head back to the Father's house when we have nothing. Unfortunately, that's usually where a person has to get before they head back home. May I say this in a loving way? Proverbs 13:15 says, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Did you hear that? The way of transgressors is hard. It's a hard road. It's a rough road. It's a tough road when you leave the Father's house. I wanted to mention this story. I obviously won't give names because we're on internet sometimes and different things. And it's obviously, I have the names, but I just, you know, sometimes I don't think about it. I want to give you the names just to let you know, hey, this happened. But, you know, I don't want to say it in case, you know, that name ever went out on the internet. But I found this story of a man in Georgia who was very mad at the church he'd been going to. And it was an independent Baptist church. I can't imagine somebody getting mad at an independent Baptist church, but I understand that that happens from time to time. And this man had refused to go to church for years. He was just mad about everything. He didn't go to another church. He just didn't go to church at all. And he had a young son that had been riding a bus to that church. And every Sunday morning, that young man would get dressed and he'd say, Daddy, will you go to church with me today? And his dad would usually just say some quick, abrupt word like, of course not, you know better than that. But he'd let his son go. And this went on for months. And Sunday morning would come and say, Daddy, you going to go to church with me today? And it kept building up to the point that this man said literally one day he kind of just got sick of it, was in a bad mood. And by the way, a Christian that is out of fellowship with God is a miserable person. It just is. And you know, if you've got a rotten attitude and a rotten spirit, and just, you better look at yourself because you might really not be right with God. Because a person that isn't is miserable. They're just angry and miserable and cantankerous, you know. And so this young man just came to dad. He said, Daddy, I'm going to church today. Are you gonna go to church with me today, Daddy? And his dad just turned around and he actually cussed his son out. And he went, blank, 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 you know I'm not going to church now. Quit asking. If you ask one more blankety blank time, I'm going to beat the blank out of you. So that young man went out of the house. The dad sat down. Now I know if you are a parent like me, it's kind of hard to hear this, but that young man went out, got in the bus, went to church, came back home that afternoon. Dad's sitting there watching TV, the game or something. Young man came in, took his Bible, put it in the room. Came back in the living room and went outside to play. And as he was outside playing, that dad's just sitting there kind of mad and bitter, you know, different things. And he seemed to hear this. And he opened up the door, and this took place about 60 miles north of Atlanta, apparently, from the story. That young man had been playing ball with a neighbor friend out in that front yard and had run out to get a ball, and a car had hit that young man. That dad, when he looked out the window, saw his son laying there in a car sitting there, and the individual that had been driving the car was just kind of holding their face and like this, and people began to run out. And that dad ran out to that son at that car, and he got down and he picked up and said, son, are you okay? And just with blood all over this young man, this father said that his young man looked at him and said, Daddy, since you won't go to church with me, would you at least go to heaven with me? And died. And that dad said with his dead son in his arms, he went back to the Father's house. But it cost him his son. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, what would it cost you? What would God have to do to get humility back in our life and a good spirit back in our life and that desire to get back as close to the Father as we used to have? And we're going through the motions and we're going through the actions. But dear friend, when you realize my heart's cold and my heart's dry and I've all the blessings that God used to put in my life, I've left all that and I need to do something about it. What would it cost to get to that point? It cost this young man everything, just like it did this dad. I want you to notice fifth, when should we go home? You need to write this one down. When you long for the Father's house. You know when you know you need to go back home? When you miss it. You know when you ought to get back in church? When you miss it. And dear friend, I don't care how far you go, you'll be lying through your teeth if you tell me that if there was a time in your life when you were right with God and serving God and love God and you've gotten away from all that, you'd be lying to me if you didn't tell me that there are some times in your life when nobody else is around that there's some tears that go out of those eyes because you miss it and you miss the power of God and you miss that experience. Let me tell you something. Our Father's house is so wonderful that if you leave it, you're going to miss it. You know, when you and I know we need to get back right with God, when we miss being that close, you can sit right in God's house and miss it. And say, God, I remember when I used to sit here and preacher would preach. Tears would flow down my eyes and God's conviction would be so heavy on me and I couldn't wait to get to that altar and get things right in my life and I couldn't wait to get in that car and talk to God in the morning on the way to work and slowly and gradually it just got further and further and further away from God's house. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, if you're missing it, it's time to come back home. Amen. When should we go home? I gave you all those reasons. Number two, how should we go home? All right, preacher, you made your point, and I think I should, and I know I should, and if I'm honest, I think that there's just areas in my life that need attention, but how do I do it? Well, in this story, it doesn't just show the point that this young man had to get to before he got right. It shows through the life of this young man how we are supposed to get right. I find in verse 18 and 19, if you'll notice this, the Bible says, obviously, in verse 17, when he came to himself, he began to long to be back in the Father's house, like I just told you. And then in verse 18, he says this, I will arise and go to my Father. Number one, I want you to see this. How am I supposed to get back home, preacher? Number one, with resolve. That means this. The only way you or I will ever get back close to the Father like we are supposed to be is if we decide to do it. You know what I find interesting? A lot of times people, they'll want to go to a church service and they'll want the pastor somehow to motivate them to get back to being close with God. And dear friend, if you have to be motivated to do it, it's not going to last very long. The only thing that is going to get you and I back to the Father's house and back in close fellowship with the Father is when we decide, I don't care what I have to do, I'm going to do it. You know what I've told you, and you all, you know, many of you have laughed at me, and you kind of laugh because you say, you know, you're right about it. But you know what? You know why I told you why some people don't come to church, and you want to say, well, this, then they have this, and they have that. It's because they don't want to. And I've told you, you know, why do individuals not do such and such? And listen, you can give me all the reasons why you've been hurt and all this stuff. Let me tell you why. It's because you've lost your desire to go. Now, I don't mean sickness, and I'm not talking about that. Obviously, you know that. But you know what? You and I, as human beings, we find a way to do what we want to do. Do you know that? I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I looked this morning, Brother Burtis Hampton sitting in the middle of the aisle on that wheelchair. I looked Brother Charles Eisenhower with his wheelchair sitting out there. We've got individuals in this building. Let me tell you something. They've got every good reason not to be in the house of God tonight. Why do they go through all that, putting the wheelchair in the car, getting out of the car, carrying an oxygen tank, doing all these things? Why do they go through all that? Because human beings do what they want to do. Let me tell you something. When you decide, I want to get back to the Father, you'll do it. How do we go back home? Number one, with resolve. Number two, with repentance. Look, if you would, at verse 18. This is how the son came back home. I will arise and go to my Father, that's resolve, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. That's repentance. I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Just if he would have gotten as far as saying, I have sinned, that would have been way further than most of us ever get to. We would go to the Father and say, well, Father, let me explain why I left. So-and-so did this to me. And I was just going through a hard time, and so-and-so, and you know, we blame everybody else. This son got to the point, you know how you get back to the Father? When you decide to get back with resolve, and when you come back to the Father with repentance. Now look at me, God will take anybody back at any time. It doesn't matter anything you've done. But he does require that if you're going to come back, you have to come back with repentance. There has to be a spirit inside of us that says, God, I'm the one that did wrong. Amen. This is my fault. Repentance. What I find here is not only did this young man experience a change of circumstances, but he also experienced a change of heart. I mean, a lot of things changed in this young man's life, but the most important thing, his heart changed. I told you this morning, he left and he said, Father, give me. And he came back and said, Father, make me. It totally swapped. Things changed. I think about David after his sin with Bathsheba and all the pitiful things that David did. The Bible says that he came to God and repented of his sins. And he confessed them before the Lord. And cleansing and forgiveness came straight from the Father. Dear friend, when you come with repentance, God hears you. David said in Psalm 32, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 51, David said, for I acknowledge my transgressions. My sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Dear friend, over and over and over again, we find in the Bible that God forgave the worst of sinners and God forgave the most evil of individuals, but he always did it when they came with repentance. A lot of people say, I want to be back with the Father, but I want to blame everybody else for what's happened. And dear friend, God's got to see humility in us. It's my fault that I wandered off. It's my fault that I left. How do we go back home? With resolve, with repentance. Number three, with respect. This is very important. Look at verse 19. He said this. He says, I'm going to tell my Father, I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. What is interesting, he left wanting all the money that the Father would give him, and he came back willing to just be a slave. He had a total change of heart. And he had so much respect, look at me, for his father and his father's house, that he said, I am not worthy to be his son. This wasn't a show. He talked about this before he ever saw the Father. Right. Now, a lot of us are good at the speech when everybody's listening. But this was going on in this young man's heart before he ever even got back home. And he literally in his heart felt, I'm not even worthy to be his son. That's how much respect he had. He's basically saying this, my father is so good and I am so bad that I am not worthy to be his son. Let me tell you, when God will start getting in your life and my life and begin to work, when you and I realize that he is so good and we are so bad that we don't deserve to be his children, but we are because he loves us. You and I have got to come back with respect for the Father. A humble spirit realizes that it deserves nothing but judgment and punishment. A humble spirit demands nothing from the Lord. A humble spirit comes before him willing to be and to do whatever God could demand. A humble spirit just wants to be back in the Father's house. I'll be a slave. Like I said this morning, I'll clean the toilets. I'll take out the trash. I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. But I just want to be a slave. I just want to be back around the Father. Resolve. Yeah, he had resolve. You say, well, did he have repentance? Yeah. But he had respect. You know what I find interesting is that some people play games with people. And some individuals tell people what they know people want to hear. But you ought to have enough respect for God's house that you don't play those games with God. Don't you come up to an altar and play a little game, put on a little show for individuals, and make yourself appear to be that, oh, I'm just Mr. Super Christian now, whatever. And you know deep at home the opposite is going on. Let me tell you something. You and I should have respect for the house of God. He demands honesty from us. I have gotten down to pray, I can't tell you how many times, I say, God, I have a rotten attitude right now. I have a rotten spirit. You've been better to me than I deserve, but Lord, I am selfish right now. I am full of junk, and I'm mad, and I'm this, and I'm that, and God, I'm not going to hide it from you because you know it anyway. And God, I'm coming to you because I need a change of heart and attitude. Number three, what will we find when we go home? This is good. Look at verse 20 and 21. He arose when he came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, ran, fell on his neck and kissed him. We talked about that this morning. Look at verse 21. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. I like verse 22. But the father said, he never got to finish his speech. You see, it's really not important what you say. It's important what's in here. The son didn't have to tell the father that I've been humbled. He could see in the son that he'd been humbled. And dear friend, it's not our speeches that we give to God, and it's not our grand ability and capabilities. God sees right through us, right into our heart. He knows when we're humble, and he knows when we're remorseful, and he knows when we have respect for him. He doesn't need to hear our speech. He just has to see our heart. I want you to notice, number one, when you come back home, number one, we will find love. This young man found something waiting at home that he had never experienced in that far country. Think about this. When he came back home, he felt something there that he never felt in all that sin and all that partying and all that fun and all those things. Listen, he experienced fun, excitement, pleasure. I'm sure he felt all that for a season, but he never felt love in any of that. But when he walked back to the Father, he felt love. You know, dear friend, love is really something only God can give. Because the Bible says that God is love. What kind of love did he find? Number one, he found a watching Father. It is clear to me from this story that the point that Jesus is trying to make here is that the father saw the young man coming home when he was a great way off, which tells me this, that father had watched every day for the return of the son. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, I don't care how far you've been, where you've gone, God has watched every day waiting for you to come back home. You say, well, preacher, I haven't gone off in the deep sin. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can sit right in the place where God's word is being preached. And God can long to see you get right with him. He found a watching father. Second, he found a compassionate father. He came out, ran after the son, and kissed him. No doubt the son looked terrible. No doubt the son smelled terrible. Probably everything about the son had nothing good looking on it, smelling on it, nothing. But the father came and ran and hugged him and kissed him. That means it didn't matter all the muck and junk he had on him, the father still embraced him. And I'm here to tell you all the things and the mistakes you and I can make and all the times that we've blown it and have done wrong, I'm here to tell you God loves us anyway. Number three, he found an excited father. You know what's interesting here? Obviously the son wanted to come home, and obviously the son was ready to come home. And obviously the son was sad about and remorseful about all the things that had happened. And obviously, look at me, the son was excited to get home. But you know what I find interesting in this story? The most excited person in this whole story is not the son that had run off and been through you know what. It was the father that was the most excited. We got a great God, don't we? I want you to say, not only did he see a watching father, a compassionate father, an excited father, but we find here that he found a loving father. And dear friend, I'm here to tell you, God loves you. And I don't know why, but he loves me too. We will find love. Number two, we will find luxury. You say, what? When we come back home, when I get back close to God, I'm going to find luxury. That means, oh, God's just going to dump a whole bunch of money on us. And oh, no. Fine, let's look and find what this young man found. When he came back home, verses 22 through 23, the Bible says first that his dad gave him a robe to cover his filthiness. Can I tell you something? Hey, there is no five-star hotel, motel, whatever you want to call it, resort, spa, I don't care what location. You know, probably the nicest location I've ever been to is Hawaii. But there's no hotel, resort, spa, whatever in Hawaii or Fiji or wherever you want to go find. Look at me. There is nothing more luxurious than having your sins forgiven. Because you can get enough money somehow, some way, if you're fortunate enough to go spend a week or something in those luxurious places. But you don't have enough money, and you can't find enough money, and you'll never have enough money to buy forgiveness of your sins. That is something money cannot buy. That is as luxurious as you could get. He got a robe he didn't deserve, and it covered his filthiness, which he didn't deserve. Second, he gave him a ring, and that ring was there, obviously, to wear on his finger. He had a robe to cover his filthiness. He had a ring to cover his finger. And that ring on that finger, like I said this morning, that gave him, it was literally a key to opening all the resources that the father still had access to. Everything that the father had now belonged to the son. And all the things that he had done, when he put that ring on that son, that means everything I have now is yours. You have access to everything that I have. And dear friend, there is nothing more luxurious than for you and I to have access to all the spiritual blessings that God has promised us. Number three, he gave him shoes for his feet. We talked about that this morning, that only slaves were barefooted. And he put shoes on his son. Can I tell you something, Christian? No matter how far you and I have gone, when you come back to the Father, you will find love and you will find luxury. You will be given things when you get back close to the Father that money and all the resources in this world could never buy. In closing, I want you to see last, not only will we find love and we will find luxury, but I find in verse 24 that we will find laughter. The Bible says in verse 24, "For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." And they began to be what? Merry. I would say it had probably been a good while since this young man had laughed. Last time he had laughed probably was when he had the money flowing. And after he saw what that sin did, and he'd been slopping hogs and had nothing, barely didn't have clothes on his back, he didn't have shoes on his feet, his dad wouldn't have put shoes on his feet, like I said this morning, if he had had shoes on his feet. So he lost those, he lost everything, he lost money, he didn't have a place to stay, he didn't have a bed to lay in, he didn't have food to eat, he had absolutely nothing. There wasn't nothing to be happy about. There was nothing to be joyous about. He had nothing to even have hope for in his life. But the moment he walked back into the presence of the Father, there was laughter. Can I tell you something different about this laughter and the laughter he probably experienced when he was out partying? The fun you have with God and the joy that you experience serving God is a whole lot different than the vain happiness you enjoy in sin. Dear friend, you and I can go through all the motions, and let's be honest, I could get right up here and preach a message and be far away from God. I could. I hope I don't do that or never do that, but I could. But dear friend, the best day, the best possible thing you could have when you are backslidden from God, the best day is the worst day when you are right with God. Luke 15:10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Do you know when a believer is out of fellowship with the Lord, there is a breakdown in their joy? Let me ask you a question before I close tonight. Thank you for listening and being patient today. I believe it's been a good day in the house of God. You've been, can I say this to you, Kerwin Baptist Church? You've been really easy to preach to today. I've had great liberty, and I thank you for that. And thank you for allowing me to be your pastor. But can I ask you this question before we close and we have our invitation time? Do you have joy? Do you have joy in your life right now? Is there joy? And dear friend, if there is joy missing, then that's a sign that there is fellowship with God missing. Lord, we love you tonight. And Lord, I thank you for your patience with me. And Lord, I probably preach to myself more tonight than even to those in front of me. Lord, I pray you would help each of us to know ourselves well enough to know that the moment I move an inch away from God, that's the time to go back. Lord, I pray you'd help our people not to have so much pride to think, well, there might be some folks think that I do such if I go to the... Lord, I just pray if you pricked our heart about anything tonight, I pray that all of our folks that you've touched, that God would make an altar in that seat or get up here to this altar and say, God, I want to get back close to you like I know I need to be. Lord, I ask you to do this work in our heart. God, I pray you'd help each of us to realize that we can come home again. You're a loving Father.